Dumelang Thobela, hello, and welcome to this weekly news wrap-up brought to you by the SL Cabinet. I am your host today, Gwena Mashale, joined by my colleagues Herman Molloy and Nandintini. Guys, say hello for the listeners.
Hello, hi.
So, we are the youth of today, bringing you all things new and current affairs through our eyes. I hope you guys stick with us as we look at this week's biggest stories, talk about the controversies, and laugh about the weird ones. Get comfortable and let's dive right into things. So, once again, Chidima is making new... making waves. If you don't know her, she is the one of the finalists in the Miss SA contestants, and she is making her waves. And her, was it her father who was on the interview?
It was her father
that has been interviewed by the Ben Stesh show, and everybody's basically saying that the math is not mathing from the interview that was had with her by her father. Basically, the father said that no, he came to South Africa in 2010 on a tourist visa to watch the 2010 World Cup, and then got married. But somehow Chidima, aka Chichi, is 23 years old, meaning she was supposed to be born in 2001, but he came in 2010. So math is definitely not mathing. Mm-hmm, there's something going on off there. Guys, thoughts?
Well, I really think the Chidima thing, it is not mathing. So it means maybe they met before that. And also, why did he do the interview? Did he feel like he was obliged to speak on behalf of his daughter? And now I think he really made things worse.
I think he
did. Also that video of her being happy with
her family.
her family and the music behind Gwena. It's like at least she should have maybe included a bit of South Africa, South African feeling, Nyana.
Basically, still the same conversation as last week that we had in regards to is she really representing South Africans. Let's listen to that interview with her father.
Origin?
I'm a Nigerian and my wife is a South African.
Oh, all right.
And I've lived in South Africa as well. I spent 10 years in South Africa.
And do you have kids in South Africa?
Yes, I do.
And I suppose they are South African citizens.
Exactly.
All right. And what surname are they using?
My surname.
Your surname.
Because I'm married to their mom, yes.
All right. Okay. And on what visa were you here?
Actually, as I said, I got married. Okay. I met my wife in the UK. She's a South African, by the way. So we met in the UK. So in 2010, during World Cup, we decided we're going to visit. At that time, we don't have children. So we decided we're going to visit South Africa to watch the World Cup. So that was my first year. That's my first time entering South Africa. So I came with a visitor visa because there's no other visa suitable for watching a World Cup other than visiting visa. So we came there, the World Cup ended, we returned back. I think it was a few weeks when I returned back to the UK. Then I have to return back again in 2013, and then with a visitor's visa, then got married to my wife in South Africa.
Okay, so now last week I had asked why people were asking the Department of Arts to cancel or disqualify her from the show, because technically Miss SA is not a government entity, right? So Gayton McKenzie, the Minister of Arts, comes back from Paris and tweets, the first thing he tweets upon landing is, "We truly cannot have Nigerians compete in our Miss SA competition. I want to get all the facts before I comment, but it gives funny vibes already." So there were mixed reviews on this response, and personally I genuinely think this should have been the moment that Gayton did not tweet, and he should have not entered this thing. What do you guys think?
For me, I don't see anything wrong with Gayton tweeting. He said, "I'm going to gather facts. I'm not gonna jump on whatever is being said on the media. I'm not gonna react on whatever has been said. I'm going to get my own facts." So surely it shows that he's diplomatic. He's a leader who does not get driven by the wind, but also confirms things. Does anything like us journalists, as how we are supposed to. You gather facts and then you respond. So there was nothing wrong with Gayton tweeting about that.
But what can he really do?
Yeah, I'm coming to
what
that.
What can he really do?
Do as they a, have a say as in as the matter?
Yeah, as a sports minister, I guess the whole thing has form of sponsorship from the department.
No, I doubt it. I don't doubt that they have sponsorship.
But I also would believe that they don't really have a lot of power to pull out, considering the fact that the Miss SA said no, but Chidima ticked all the right boxes. She's definitely qualified to compete. So they are not going to disqualify her regardless of what South Africans and what the minister is saying.
My argument is based on that these people have sponsors. And the sponsors, somehow, they need funding from the department. We saw happening in Nagoya, Katie releasing the whole thing about the list. So if you associate yourself with criminals and you have leaders like Katie McKenzie, they're going to expose you. So that's the topic we have been having, I think, on Wednesday.
Yeah.
That it's about the image of Miss South Africa. So even if they are not sponsoring the whole show, but then they are killing themselves, they are shooting themselves on the legs from getting sponsored by the department.
By the department.
Because if Gaten goes and finds out that, okay, this is a Nigerian child born with whatever the mother, because I heard apparently the mother is now a South African. So whatever it is, I'm not sure. But then you can ruin your image while you know that you're going to need a form of support from the department.
I mean, besides Gaten commenting on the matter, EFF Naledi Chiwa, also commented on Gaten's post herself. She took it as well onto Twitter to say, "You, McKenzie, don't respect South African laws. You are not patriotic at all. You don't know the South African constitution. You don't respect the South African government office at the executive level. You do not know South African history." And obviously, Ofikile Mbalula from ANC also commented on the matter in one of the briefings that they had this week. We'll listen to that clip right now.
It is very strange in this debate. You are asking us a question. The organizers of this are quiet. And then they've allowed this girl to go, you know, to be out there and attacked and all of that. The organizers are not saying anything. Government, Schreiber, Home Affairs, he must clarify this issue. DA, Minister. The minister must clarify this particular issue so that you don't allow victimization. I've seen comparisons that have been made, Vanessa Carrera, Portuguese, and all of that, and so on. I've seen that in the public domain. So those issues need to be clarified. But this matter brings into sharp question about immigration laws. And at the same time, where does it place us?
Why is Mbalula talking on the topic? I feel like the ANC just likes hopping into things that don't really concern them.
Okay.
Is it always because every other party was also coming?
Mbalula was rightfully commenting because he's a politician. Politicians make laws.
But my question here is, even if the politicians make the laws, because I'm not sure if you guys saw that the Patriotic Alliance released a statement saying that they're taking legal action now, that they're considering taking legal actions and taking this whole thing to court if the MSSA does not disqualify Chidima. But my thing is that, will the courts even support their claims? Because at this point...
Remember, in court, we argue on... we argue on facts, we argue on merits. So we can really predict who the court will
looking at the history of Miss South Africa, have you seen the contestants actually standing up with, okay, we are political, we're supporting the South African politics? We've never...
That's form of entertainment. It shouldn't be linked to...
No, I mean, they are Miss South Africa. They represent the entire country. So I believe if they represent South Africa, they should include our policies and our politics. But they don't do that. But South Africa is like, we are doing our own thing. And this is...
Remember this contest It's not about being beauty and shiny. That's and what running the stories. No, it's not about that. Mm. That's why you have a second round of questions where mm-hmm. they ask you who, if you win this, what you're going to mm-hmm. do, how you're going to mm-hmm. use the image of mm-hmm. Miss South Africa to enhance or improve a community in Limpopo mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. in Free State or yes. in whatever. Mm. So, if we say we have seen this girl has nothing that represents South Africa. Mm-hmm. So if she's gonna win, what is she going to do for South Africans?
She's gonna go back home.
If she
wins, it means we're gonna have two Nigerians on stage in the Miss Universe.
But guys, here's the thing.
It's not even about that. Let's not go there. Now I'm saying to you guys, the PA thing of going to court, it's something that we need to wait and look how it plays out. Yeah. What are their arguments?
Mm.
We can predict, no, the court is not going to listen. The court is there to listen.
I'm not saying the court was not there, is not going to listen, but I'm saying what are the chances that they're going to get out there successfully? Because looking at the courts and looking how the courts have been, we all know how courts work. Courts are always literally referencing the constitution. In every time they come up with a judgment, they reference the constitution, what the constitution says. And if the constitution says that if one of the parents is South African born, then the child is a South African. And right now we don't know whether Mozambican or South African. I feel like for me, until we get that right fact of who the mother nationality is, then we'll know from there. But for now, Chidima seems to be South African.
But I think the whole thing going to court, it's a good move in terms of it will map or shape a way moving forward. It will be our study case. When we reach at the same thing, we're gonna reflect back and say, but then in 2024 this happened.
We'll see as things unfold. Basically, we'll continue to follow this Chidima thing and see it till the end. But people are still reeled about it, so hopefully all best for her. Anyway, guys, another thing that came out, the stats report released a report this week, they released a population report once again, and they're saying for at least 2,000 babies were born in South Africa daily last year as the country's population surpasses 63 million. Right. And they're saying Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal account for about 45% of SA's population, and that they're saying it estimates that for 2024, the state's country's population grew by at least 835,000 people, marking a 1.33 increase from July 2023 to July 2024. Now, guys, I want to just discuss this because this is actually something that was also a topic last year. Can we say?
So, if you're saying we have about 800 new
800,000.
Yeah, 800K new people. And census said we are about 66 million. So are you saying roughly we are approaching 70 million in South Africa?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we're approaching there. Soon enough, maybe like 2026, 2027 would be there. My thing is as well, but can we even count this? Can we even say this is accurate, considering the fact that the stats is a census doesn't really... There was an argument last year, I remember, when they released the stats to say that their census doesn't really cover the basis of South Africa. It actually is not really that accurate, that there are actually more people in SA. And from my understanding is that there may be more than this, but this is roughly the estimate that stats SA is going with.
They didn't come knocking at my house. And I don't remember seeing them, because you'd see them, they're wearing green and all of that. But in my street, I've never seen them the whole of last year. And I knew that my friend was one of the people that were counting, but they only ended up like there by Lenezia, Loli, and Lehaye. But in our side, no.
It didn't come that side.
So it's probably like you're saying, it's just an estimation
of how many people
are there.
Unless they're getting their data from someone else or from somewhere else. Maybe like, I don't know, there's when you apply for banks and stuff like that, doesn't you tell you how many families are linked to like this one house or something like that? Or like maybe even City Power, when they do electricity, they would say, no, this is a household that eats electricity. Maybe there's, meaning there's five people in this house. So we don't exactly know. But here's another stat that also was released this week as well by the Eastern Cape Provincial Health Department. So Eastern Cape continues to battle with a high prevalence of teenage pregnancies, with more than 4,000 girls aged between 10 and 19 giving birth since the start of the 2020 financial year in April. Guys, what is my thing? And the thing is, what my question is, what happened to sex education?
I was about to go there.
Does it still happen in schools, or is just teenage pregnancy now just like becoming a trend? Because I'm not sure if you guys notice now, even on the TikToks or even on Instagram, you just see children on some, day in my life as a teenage pregnant, mom, day in my life as a...
Yeah.
Why is it becoming such a norm?
I think it's these TV shows as well. Mummy Club thing. It's those shows. They're just promoting that. And also the Moja Love one. I think it's now we are promoting it instead of preventing it. So it's a good thing. No, you come and get your 3.5. Let's do this show. But it doesn't make sense.
And also, now when I was raised, it was the 5 B's or five,
yeah,
boys,
the 7 B's.
The 7 B's, books before boys, because boys bring babies.
But then, guys, honestly, when you look at, you said age from 10 to
19.
But from 10 to at least 15, I like to believe it's not by choice, or it's not something they were willing to do. If you check, mostly it's from rural areas because they are either raped, or the family have organized them to marry someone so that they can have babies. So we can't really blame what is seen on TV or... when you look at it in the Eastern Cape, go Makai or KZN, and then you realize the kid has been is pregnant and she's only 10. It's not even about she saw it on TV or she was not taught about sex. It's a case of she was raped or it was an organized marriage, because we know it still happened in South Africa. And I'm not saying being pregnant is a privilege or a good thing. But then let's look what's causing that thing to happen. So I think even if we do the stats, we should also get the reasons why.
I mean, I get what you mean, because I understand that there are some sort of factors that come in. But my thing is, that is what you're causing is like the 2%. Do you understand what I mean? It's I'm not saying it's very rare, but it's not as common as the ones that choose to have the sex. I would understand whatever, there's the Uktala ones.
Yes.
There's the ones who are raped. Yeah. But majority of the time, it's children, it's kids who are going to school and having sex in classes and going to parties.
I'd like to differ with you on the fact that you said the state is from where?
Eastern Cape.
Thank you. So you have like rural areas there. It's not even about the 2%. You might find it's actually about 50 or something percent. If it was a state based in Gauteng or based in KZN or Free State or Limpopo, it was going to be a different topic. And I'm not trying to justify what is happening. But then, guys, let's look at the cause.
I mean, you're definitely right. I think this one is we can say it's a 50-50 going away.
Yeah.
Because it can happen also in Limpopo where somebody's either raped and taken. It can happen also in Gauteng.
It's even a thing of being poor.
I was
poor,
even about to say
I mean,
that.
Last week I was watching something about a lady from, I don't remember, but then she was forced to come to Gauteng, and she was given 20 rand to marry a foreigner, and that foreigner only gave her money to come this side, and then she had to go to the informal settlement to stay there while the guy is married to her and has a citizenship. Yes, also, the guy is living soft life, he owns a shop, a tuck shop, it's big. And the lady only got 20 rand from that maze.
Ah, but you see, now that one. I get what you say, poverty.
Yeah,
I get what you say, poverty. But now we're speaking about the kids. We're not speaking about a 35 or 32 year old. I understand the circumstances are different. So that part I understand. It's just that with this one, I would understand if somebody's like, no, we don't have food at home.
So
get pregnant so you can go get the 350
I'm not going to mention the family, but then some of the families that I was doing, Hamanskar, when I was doing the 1 year anniversary of water, this lady said, we depend on it. And she has like 5 or 6 kids.
So imagine, so 350 times six.
It's even 500 now.
500 times six.
That's how she's able to put food on the table. And other cases, other scenarios, it's whereby utholukuthi your mom will say, hey Joe, go and sleep with
for money, for this
so that we can get money.
So it's a difficult place to live in, Imoka, South Africa, but I think that happens all around the world. Speaking of all around the world and in South Africa, so Mpumalanga police have arrested at least 95 Libyan nationals after uncovering a suspected secret military training camp operating from a farm in White River. And this was last year, right? So apparently these Libyans entered South Africa in April on study permits, and they claimed to be studying how to be security guards, and they were supposed to be going home in December, but Home Affairs have since cancelled their visas. So there've been obviously a few updates from the story which was released last Friday. But first, what were your thoughts, guys, when you guys heard about this military camp in Malang?
Firstly, I'd like to say shout out to our freelance journalist
Umandla Khoza.
Has been on doing, the ground.
He was on where she broke the story, guys.
So, shout out to him. For me, I don't want to jump on it for now. Yeah. Let's see what the state says in terms of their indictment. How long did it take to pass these people and to get to understand what actually happened? Because jumping now and saying maybe things like, hey, the police were not aware. You don't know how long the investigation took to go about. And again, also, it can backlash the police
as well.
So I'm going to say, but we know main things are happening in South Africa, which are wrong. We have had to pass the raid, the whatever. So the man in blue did a great work to protect. I mean, you heard that these people were terrorizing the community nearby. So the man in blue did a great job. Just that I don't want to react now before studying what the men in blue say in their case. Yeah, that's my 2 cents.
I think I'm going to go with what Herman is saying, because these things take process, and we'll see as time goes by what's going to happen.
I mean, guys, there's a video that surfaced showing them having fun and dancing with the locals at the tavern. In the video captured by a community member in one of the villages, said that the group could be seen dancing outside Iguajeri's tavern with a remix of DJ Clock's D and B beat song blaring in the black background. There was even one guy who was doing the backflip.
Yeah.
So it's nice.
He was doing the backflip, and it just, honestly, I feel like it goes to show you that I think in some sort of way, like you're saying, the men in blue probably did a great job, and they were probably aware of it. We don't want to speak more on that, but they're probably aware of it, and they were actually investigating. That's what led to the bust, you know. But we obviously will hear more about it in court. I think from there we'll discuss more. But it was just really quite interesting, because a lot of people were in social media were like, so there was a whole military camp in Mpumalanga, and we had no idea about it. And it goes to show you that there's a lot that's going on in South Africa that we don't know what's going on. I mean, in your neighborhood, there could be a whole Zama Zama lab, and you wouldn't know.
But then it's bound to happen. I mean, we just talked about states. You have 60 million people who are guarded by less than half a million
police.
So it is bound to happen. I'm not justifying the wrong things that have been done, But I think since we should increase manpower.
Yeah, I think manpower is something that is definitely needed.
It's one of the things that will help with decreasing the unemployment rate in South Africa.
Oh, okay, so they already did make a first appearance. Thank you, Demi, for that. And the apparently Umchunu commented on it. I hope we do. Thank you, Nandi. Umchunu made a comment on it as well as
because he was there.
Yes. Yeah. So, guys, moving on from this. Speaking of actually appearances, what type of best again appeared again? When was it? Was it Wednesday?
Well, did he not wear Markham's t-shirt? Sorry, Markham, I'm not trying to say.
So he appeared again. It was Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
He appeared on Wednesday, and before he appeared, he released a statement, right? Released a statement saying, in which he basically is legally challenging the inhumane detention conditions at the Khosi Mampura precinct, right? So best is claiming that no, being in a solitary confinement for 23 hours a day is detrimental to his health. And why? But one would argue, here's my thing, one would argue that solitary confinement is only given to criminals who are seriously considered dangerous, which in this case isn't. Thabo is deemed as dangerous. I mean, this is the same man who practically walked in and out of prison like he was at a shopping mall.
Leave that walking. Let's go to the same reason why he was arrested.
Exactly.
For the fact that he's a rapist.
Yeah.
He's literally not even he's a con artist on top of that. And yet he says.
And he's a murderer.
And he says he's not dangerous. He went on a rant as well, like I think a few weeks ago, saying they are worse criminals than him who deserve that treatment. Yeah. And he is quite frankly not that dangerous. And he says, no, but my mental health is at risk. What do you guys think?
Hey, Thabo Bester should rest. Like, should mental health, at what cost?
But then it shows you the level of disrespect.
And entitlement
the prisoners have.
Mm.
They want to be treated as if they are being awarded, not rehabilitated. So for me, Thabo Bester, and it's getting boring, this topic. Yes, I think even going back and forth in court is just a waste of our tax. Because this guy was convicted for murder and rape, and then he decided to escape. So now he wants to go to the same cell he escaped. He banned it. So which cell must he go? He banned it. Let him go to the other one.
And actually, I mean, I quite agree with you because we spoke to the Singabako, the correctional service spokesperson, and he said at this point they're still waiting for the legal papers that Thabo Bester is claiming to want to put towards them. But at the same time, Singabako quite actually said, this is just one of another tactic that Thabo Bester is trying to do to get attention. Mm. And unfortunately, the media is giving it to him. So I think as a media, we need to like come to a realization hole. We need to stop giving people attention for things that they don't really need attention for. I mean, also these politicians, sometimes I feel like politicians they don't need that much attention as well. We don't need to constantly, every time a media statement is released, we don't need to constantly run to where they are going. I mean, who cares that Lusufi, like, I understand Sharp Lusufi is the premier, but Lusufi restoring power in Lenasia is what he's supposed to be doing. He is an official, and that is his job. Why now must we run and then go there and then as a community we clap hands for him when it's his job? So why are we giving these prisoners, Thabo Bester, the limelight? I love what the judge did. I think the judge, Bloemfontein, the recent time, Thabo Bester kept trying to talk in court. And the judge said, no, talk through your legal representative.
Why does he feel so entitled?
No. You have a legal representative.
Your Lordship should also understand that. I beg your pardon?
Okay.
I'm saying that I'm giving an opportunity to write an instruction, and I'm asking your lordship so to understand, because this is the person that is suffering. So when he sees this engagement, obviously he's triggered. So I'm asking your lordship to at least bear with us.
What is the problem with that? I will not allow you to speak.
Yes, yes. Yes, that is correct, my lord. But
I'm here to speak on his behalf.
I think Osinabakwe is correct when you say the media is giving him that attention. So when he
has to feel entitled, because I mean he had whole MP, the current MP Jimmy. Oh, he does not want that name. That guy, the spokesperson of Zuma Foundation.
Oh,
was singing happy birthday. Yeah. Was singing happy birthday to a whole prisoner in prison. So I mean, you must feel some offended, man.
Wait, it's
and even Utabo also said that he's being treated this way because of his affiliations. So it shows he knows people who know people. So, but then it's a boring conversation, because this guy, You are doing these things. You are always trending on Twitter. You are always trending on our TV. What happens to the family of that lady that you murdered? What happens to the victims that or that you raped? And when you feel they are entitled, when you raped someone, you didn't think about their rights. When you murdered someone, you didn't think about their rights. But then you want the court to consider your rights. And it's not even issue of you're not getting food. It's not an issue of you're not getting comfort from your sleep in prison. It's not an issue of you are stripped naked. It's not an issue of they are going to hang you or something. Although he said he wants to be hanged. I don't care. But then what happens to the victims of the crime?
Exactly.
Like, we have to consider that. And also, for him to be issuing statement from prison.
What is that? I mean, isn't he supposed to be in prison, and yet he's still issuing statements? What's going on, guys? But anyway, guys.
So Ujabo doesn't care about other people. Yeah. I mean,
he doesn't. I don't even think he cares about Unandi.
He allegedly wounds Shakaye, because I mean, now at this point, it's still alleged that Unandi helped Utabo.
Guys, that's alleged.
It's alleged. But then again, I mean, there are cases where women are forced to do things that they don't want to do. It might be the case, but we don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah, but we'll let it play out in court and see. I mean, she was busy saying I was arrested unlawfully in Tanzania. I mean, you want to be arrested lawfully? Come to South Africa and we can arrest you here. Because you know that we are looking for you. Exactly. And you decided to go to Tanzania.
Hey, is that the topic? Yeah, come on, best don't forever make people laugh. But hey, guys, love, he lives here, Akire. So anyway, guys, speaking of us, so certain things as well, guys, what's going on in our schools, hey? What's going on in our schools, Shame, hey? Nandi, you did a story about the accounting principals who are being taught a lesson by the department. Can you just give us a little bit of a background on that one?
Okay, so it's the story of the two pupils that drowned in a disciplinary camp. And when they were reading the report on Wednesday? They mentioned that the principal just was not even invited in the camp. She was the one that went and spoke to the camp owners, can you just come and have my kids there? Yeah. Like, and she didn't even include the teachers, the parents. She just sent the kids with one social worker. And
at home, she was trying to pull through for the kids.
Pull through for the kids, but
experience.
But she should not come and give her. We must go to the proper channels.
And then in her defense, when they're asking her, why didn't you follow the correct checklist? She's like, I didn't know.
She didn't know?
No.
She didn't know.
But then, let's be honest, the idea is not bad. But the fact that she didn't do due diligence by contacting the department, by speaking to parents to say, guys, this is the idea I have. I want to take these kids to a camping.
But you know, Herman, yeah, these kids come from, it's a special needs kid, so you can't send one person to take care of those kids.
Hence I'm saying the idea to take kids to the camp, it's a good idea because you want to give them the experience that other learners are having that don't have special needs. Wabo, the idea is good, but then what she did to execute the idea, it's bad because she didn't talk to the parents. She did not talk to the school.
Yeah.
She did not reach out to the department, because if she would have reached out to the department, they could have said, okay, how about we give you 5 social workers? How about we give you security? We give you assurance that there will be security.
The department did say, there was an email in January saying with each school, whenever you are going on a tour, it's how many teachers? It's 1 teacher for 20 learners.
Yeah.
So there was no teacher. And she was on that email. So she went on, Yena, and said, you know what? I'm not going to listen to the department. I'm going to do my own thing.
Yeah. I get you, Nandi, and I'm not disputing that. I'm talking about the idea of taking
kids are no more. And then whether it was a good idea or not, the kids drowned. And the sad part,
that's sad.
That it's really sad because the MEC did say, which when they went to the parents, it felt like they are now ripping the bandage, reminding them of what happened and knowing that this thing could have been prevented, but the principal just decided, you know, this is my school, I'm going to do it my own way. And look where we are now.
Anta was drowning when Sbusiso tried to save him. In the process, Sbusiso drowned as well. The learners that were around and inside the dam were screaming and shouting and pointing at the spot where the deceased learners had disappeared in the water. Mr. Mutlo and some of the facilitators who heard the shouting and were led to the dam jumped into the waters and attempted to save the learners. One of the facilitators who had jumped into the water almost drowned himself in the process. However, he was saved and subsequently resuscitated. At some point, while the incident took place, 2 other facilitators ran to the camp owner's home and informed the camp owner of the incident. They requested him to drain the dam urgently, to which he refused. The emergency services, including police divers, arrived, and the dam area was evacuated. The bodies of Sbusiso and Spamandla were later recovered, and after which the paramedics conducted the signs of life checks, and the learners were pronounced dead. Secondly, the second question that was asked was whether approval was granted for the trip. No approval was granted by the department. The school did not submit any application for the trip, as required in terms of Regulation 7 of the tour regulations on domestic and international tours for learners at public schools. Crucial safety measures were, as a result, not adhered to by the school and which could not be identified or corrected by the department.
Okay, guys, but hey, you know what? This is, I think, in terms of schools, I don't know if there needs to be a reform or what. Or I feel like sometimes the SGBs are not involved as much as they should be. And I feel like they need to be more involved. Whereas there are SGB schools that are very much involved. I think the North High School, the SGBs, they are very much involved. I think the dynamic needs to switch, you know, because you can't have a principal making these hectic decisions without proper guidance, without proper advice. And as a principal, you are a principal, you should know the guidelines, you should know protocol. Exactly. And for her to not know protocol, honestly tells me that she was not meant to be a principal. Mm-hmm. She was not supposed to get that job. And how she got that job is also something that also is beyond me. But you know what? We'll leave it there. But again, schools need to, I don't know, there needs to be a reform in schools.
These people know what they are supposed to do. They know they are qualified to do it. They just choose to ignore the law.
Ignore it, yeah.
Which is another problem, I think, as South Africans.
We think we are above and beyond the law when we have certain qualification attached to our name or certain responsibilities attached to our names. Mm. So in this case, Liane, the principal of that school, she felt though she has the authority to decide on what should happen and when. Without involving other people. even the principal of Pretoria Girls High, she decided that I'm going to let racism take place in my school. So it's always about choosing. They choose to do whatever they want to do, despite them knowing that it is wrong.
There has been this complaint for quite some time, from last year as well, 2023, that were raised by some of the learners. And one of the whistleblowers came forward. And what makes me sad is that he was she got victimized, but she did come forward. And we were able to get that evidence that was received. So based on that, while we're still busy with the disciplinary process, we have taken a decision to suspend the principal of the school up until we conclude this matter. We've appointed the deputy principal, one of the deputies, to come in and act.
So yeah,
you know what? That's going to be the tough pill to swallow, but
yeah,
you know what? It is what it is. Hopefully they learn, and as time goes, you know, things become better.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, as we ended off, we just want to say congratulations to all the Olympic players in from South Africa in the Olympic at Olympics Paris today, guys. Great work from Uta Tiana Smith for winning the gold and silver from the rugby side. It's the Bokkers. What are they called? Not the Bokkers, sorry. Blitz Bokkers. So sorry, guys. Thank you so much for them, man. You guys are doing fantastic work. I also see that Alan Hartley, cycling mountain bike, he got a bronze medal as well. Keep it up, guys. Honestly, I would like to say, you know what? You're doing the most. Even those who couldn't obviously didn't get the bronze medal so far, who have competed, we also see you guys. I mean, we also see Miguel. I can't remember her name, but she came, I think, 16 in the skateboarding competition. She did a really good job. I mean, she put also South Africa technically on the map. We didn't know that there was a skateboarding, skateboarding
Olympics. It's not just RSA. What surprised me during this Olympics, it's the fact that Chadley Claus is going to compete
again.
I'm still shocked because Chadley Claus, I wrote about him in my life orientation test, I think grade 6 or grade 5.
That was years ago.
So shout out to him. Hope he do good. Yeah, and you remember he was around that time when Oscar Pistorius.
I will not touch on that. But you know what? Great to Chadley Claus. That's what again. We're also clapping hands for him. Thank you so much. Guys, but you know what?
And others also.
We're actually all behind the South African team, even though the uniform sucks. But we are behind them. We are very much behind them.
Can I ask something?
What?
It's not personal. Don't take it personal. Whoever is listening to our podcast, do you think the outfit resembles ZCC?
Yo,
Kaneli.
Okay, let's leave it. It was just a question. No harm meant.
Well, hey guys, that's all. That's all for this week's news wrap. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts, review, and subscribe for free on Iono FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. You can also find us or follow us on all social media platforms at Sowetan Live. This podcast is a Times Live production, and our producer is Demi Buzo. Don't forget, you can also have a listen to our other podcasts, namely Sunday Times Politics Weekly, Taking the Rams by the Horns, Business Day Spotlight, Gogo, Have I Been Scammed, and 30 Years of Democracy. Thank you for tuning in. Join us again next week for more updates on the biggest stories from me, Gwena, and from my colleagues, Nandi and Herman. Bye.
Bye-bye.